The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Morning Drive on WTBR 89.7 FM and WSBR 88.1 in Lee. And you are listening to the Morning Drive, so thank you for joining us. Welcome to Monday, April 6th. Yay, Mondays, right? So I always tell people I used to do these on Fridays, so when I used to start, it was always a fun thing to say welcome to Friday. Now I get to say welcome to Monday. But I hope that... Everybody enjoyed their weekend, whether you're celebrating Easter or Passover. I hope you had a nice time with your family. I'm Brian Burkle. I'll be your host today. As always, we are live and local this morning at the WTBR studio on Federico Drive. And today we're going to be talking about some very serious subjects. This is National Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And so we have in-house, we have representation here from the Elizabeth Freeman Center and also from the Berkshire District Attorney's Office to talk about very serious subjects and the great resources that we have for people who may be looking for help. But before we get into that, we are going to check in with our weather and see what to expect.
Berkshire weather. WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, partly sunny. Highs in the lower 40s. West wind 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear in the evening, then partly cloudy with a chance of snow showers after midnight. Cold with lows in the upper 20s. West wind 10 to 15 miles per hour, diminishing to around 5 miles per hour after midnight. Chance of snow 30%. Tuesday, partly sunny with a chance of snow showers. A chance of rain showers in the afternoon. Highs in the lower 40s. Northwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. Gusts up to 30 miles per hour in the afternoon. Chance of precipitation 50%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
It always makes me uncomfortable when the robot voice goes longer than the little jingle that goes with that. It means there's a lot going on, or a lot to pay attention to. So again, good morning. Welcome to Monday morning. And we are here in studio talking about the fact that this month is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. So we have some good professionals here to talk about how to help someone who might be at risk, or if you yourself are at risk or in these situations, we can talk about that, some resources that are here and available to you here in Berkshire County. So first of all, from the Elizabeth Freeman Center, we have Esther Anderson, who is an administrative assistant and sounds like someone who knows a lot about the doings at the Elizabeth Freeman Center. So I think that's that title doesn't fully accomplish all of all that she does. And Pamela Preston, who is the programs manager and a physical response advocate. So we'll start there. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
Good to see you. Thank you for being in here. You just bring those mics a little closer there. Yeah. Thank you. And then also in studio from the district attorney's office, we have Rachel Aramo. She's an assistant district attorney, and she's the chief of the special victims unit. And Kristen Rapkowitz, who is the domestic violence coordinator. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Brian.
So let's start off with talking about the Elizabeth Freeman Center. How about a little history about the center? How did it come to be here in Berkshire County?
So it's been in Berkshire County over 50 years now. And it's here to promote awareness and offer assistance. We are a rape crisis center, so it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all year long, available to meet survivors where they're at, mm-hmm. and to help assist them as they move forward.
And how long has it been in place here, the Elizabeth Freeman Center?
So 50 years here, and in different locations
and
also.
Two organizations, grassroots. It started in people's homes, people in their cars. Truly grassroots organizations joined forces in the 80s and became the Elizabeth Freeman Center.
Yeah. Yeah. And what an amazing resource. And you guys, I mean, from my background, you know, as Rachel and I have worked together for many years in Kristen. I used to be at the state police as a detective there. So, you know, we've dealt with the Elizabeth Freeman Center quite often in my career. And I think, you know, so I have a good knowledge of your programming. But I think in general, I think the public is pretty much aware of who you are, which I think it says a lot for the services that you do. And I think that that's a great the advocacy that you do has been able to really open doors, I think, for a lot of people who are victimized in this community. So thank you for doing that.
And that's a lot of what we do. A lot of, you know, that's what we're going to be doing next week. That is what September's about. That is a lot of our, is about getting out there and letting people know we're here. We're here for you all the time.
Right.
That's a lot of what my role is there is letting people know that we're here for you.
Yeah.
Don't forget, you know, just because you don't see us every day, we're here.
Right, and you have offices located where?
Yes, we're in Great Barrington in South County. We're in North Adams in North County, and in Pittsfield here. It's the one agency across all of the Berkshire County, which is remarkable when we're able to reach out and meet people where they're at.
Yeah, because, I mean, Berkshire County, you know, those, you know, we've, you know, most of us have grown up here, and we know, you know, if you grow up in South County, you never go to North County, and so and back and forth, right? So it's important that, it's great that you are able to serve the North, the South, and the Central, because that's a problem for a lot of nonprofits and a lot of service agencies here in the county, is that it's hard to reach all of those demographics, so. That's a good thing that you're in North, South, and Central. And so that, what's the phone number? You have a 24/7 toll-free hotline?
Yes.
Okay.
It's 866-401-2425.
Okay. And that's for anybody can call if they are in trouble or if they have concerns for somebody else?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It can be the individual. It can be someone calling in for them, having concerns for them. And then even in situations where it's different agencies will call in asking for supports for their clients or patients. So we try to help help them to resources if we don't have them within ours.
Right. And I'll, you know, I'll tell, you know, we'll go over that number a few times before the end of the show. But I also want to let people know that, you know, I checked out your website in preparation for this, of course, and I found it very, very full of great information, a lot of tips that I thought were very helpful. And I think, so if there's anybody who's looking for some advice, you can find it right there. And one of the things that I saw in there was about internet safety. There's a section there about internet safety, and it's not, you know, over at the kids' place where I worked. We do a lot of internet safety for the kids and stuff like that about being safe online. But what I found interesting about this internet safety is more about how to be online without your abuser tracking you and being able to monitor you and kind of develop a safety way to have some distance from that person and be safe while you're online. So I thought there were some really interesting tips in there that were very helpful.
Yeah, I think what happens for when it's that pivotal moment that someone can reach out and connect with us can be the times when they're in the most danger. So it's trying to help them with whatever form of technology they're using to reach out to us. So whether it's via phone, those are some of the first questions we're asking. Are you safe to be able to speak with us? If it is on a computer or their phone, giving them some kind of steps to look at in case something happens so that can be shut down immediately and help provide safety again.
And another feature that you have on your website is the exit button.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
I
That is one of my fortes I do not have with. Sorry.
I know that it's very important.
Yeah.
And it's a tricky part of when we're playing in the website in the back of it that we make sure that we don't mess up.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So what I found on it was it's on the left side of the screen.
Yes. And when you pitch it, it makes it go away.
Yes. So for that very reason, that if you're someone who is looking for help and you're researching this site and you're concerned about someone else who's maybe shows up or appears in the room, maybe it's your abuser or somebody else, you just don't want anybody to see that you're looking this stuff up, you can hit that and it closes the site right away.
Correct.
Immediately, and it doesn't appear in the history.
Correct.
Or it shows up as some other messaging. It doesn't say Elizabeth Freeman Center. So that if you've got that situation where someone who's in a control, you know, someone who is a controller, and they're monitoring very closely what you're doing, they can't look in there and see that you just came off that site. So very valuable tool on that site.
Very
so,
valuable.
Yeah. So this is domestic. I'm sorry. Well, it's sexual assault
awareness
month. What does the Elizabeth Freeman Center have in store as far as any kind of awareness that you guys are doing for this month?
So this is the 25th anniversary of SAM.
Okay.
For when it started.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a whole month's worth of different activities and going out into the community. Do you want to add?
And tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow is Wear Teal Day.
Wear Teal. Okay.
And that's nationally.
Mm-hmm.
And tomorrow we are having a standout at Park Square from 5 to 6. And anyone can join us.
Mm-hmm.
That is our first big event that for the public that can join us. We will be at Park Square from 5 to 6.
Mm-hmm.
So that is our first event. Next Monday, we will be placing flags. 513 or 518 flags at Park Square to represent the survivors that we have assisted this year. And they will be up for 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
1 week and 1 day, because next Monday's a holiday.
Okay.
The following Monday's a holiday.
Right.
For our survivors, and they will be there at Park Square. And that's our second big representation that we will have. Mm-hmm. We've been doing that for several years.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the 29th is Denim Day. And that goes back even further than 25 years.
Yes.
And that's... For that's not just, that's all over the world, which is even more amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And wear denim in representation that it doesn't matter what you're wearing.
Yes.
Okay.
Sexual assault does not matter what you're wearing.
Okay.
Wear denim in representation, and we will be taking a picture on the City Hall steps.
Can you speak a little bit more to that about it doesn't matter what you're wearing? What is that?
There was a case in Italy.
Yep.
That... The woman was wearing tight jeans,
mm-hmm.
and that was the perpetrator's excuse.
Mm.
And she was 18 years old, and he was 45.
Mm-hmm.
He was actually arrested first, and then when they went for the appeal, used the concept that because she was wearing tight jeans, there was some way that it was consented.
Mm.
So... That was overturned,
that was the day it was overturned, was April 29th.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And again, that goes to that stereotype of victims being blamed.
Yes.
For being victimized, based solely for a lot of reasons that can come up, but that's one of them. Sometimes the way that somebody was dressed, that they somehow invited that attack.
Yes. Correct.
Right. So, all right. So let's turn over to the district attorney's office here. Hi, Rachel.
Good morning.
Kristen, how are you?
Good morning.
You can bring that in a little closer, too.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, we didn't have the tutorial beforehand about the microphones. So, learning as we go.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning.
Rachel, how long have you been with the DA's office?
Since 2000.
Yeah?
So, 26 years, sir.
Yeah. And you've been working in the sexual abuse realm for most of that time? What would you say?
I have. Yeah. I started working sexual assault cases within the first couple of years. In 2006, I started working in our special victims unit. 2010, I became the chief of the child abuse unit, where you and I did a lot of cases together. I did that till 2020, took a little break from work, and then became the chief of the special victims unit, which does cover adult sexual assaults here in Berkshire County in 2024.
And Kristen, how long have you been with the DA's now?
I've been at the district attorney's office since 2004.
And with this particular unit, I mean, I know you've been a victim witness advocate.
Yeah, so I'm still a victim witness advocate. So I've worked in the various courts throughout the county, all the district courts, including juvenile court. Right now, I work in the special victims unit with Rachel. I have a hand in the child abuse unit as well. And I also have a superior court caseload that includes sexual assaults. The majority of the cases are sexual assaults, as well as homicides. And I also coordinate the domestic violence high-risk team within our office.
So let's talk a little bit about what someone who has come forward as a victim had, you know, been brave enough to come out of or brave enough to seek help and tell their story, and they end up in a prosecution potentially, right? What does that look like? Let's start in the beginning, like when things first come to light in the criminal justice world, what can that person who's been victimized expect?
Sure. So if it's a an arrest situation, for example, because sometimes a lot of times sexual assault investigations come in through an investigation process rather than an arrest. But if it's an arrest situation, there'll be an advocate who will reach out immediately, and I'll let Kristen speak to that. And then the first goal is victim safety. So that's a situation where we, as the district attorney's office, can employ a number of procedures, including asking that he or she, the defendant, be held without the right to bail under a dangerousness hearing. We can also ask, if the judge does not allow that, for conditions of release, including a GPS monitor with exclusion zones, restraining orders, no contact, stayaways, whatever we can do to make sure there is a bubble of safety around our victim.
Yes, like Rachel said, the majority of our sexual assaults do come in under an investigation, but the advocate from the district attorney's office gets involved pretty quickly. A lot of Pittsfield police officers, on top of obviously reaching out to Elizabeth Freeman Center to respond to the hospitals, they do have my contact information, and they will reach out in certain situations, so the advocate from the district attorney's office can kind of work in collaboration with the Elizabeth Freeman Center and just kind of explain criminally if there's going to be charges. If there's an investigation, we usually get a report sent over to our office, whether it be from you know, Pittsfield, Dalton, any of the local agencies, as well as the state police. The advocate will review the report, reach out to them. And again, the biggest concern at the time is safety. So we'll talk about safety planning. We'll make referrals to Elizabeth Freeman Center, also make referrals to other counseling and things like that. We always bring the victims in at a fairly early process to get them in, just to kind of meet with us face to face, do like a meet and greet, so they can see who's working behind the scenes, because a lot of these investigations take a little bit longer than most people would like. We want to make sure they know that we haven't forgotten about them. So we'll briefly explain the process and just let them know that we're here. And like I said, we are always making referrals out to other agencies as well.
So it's there's a lot of organizations working together.
Correct.
Right. And, you know, in Berkshire County, do you feel like that you have good relations with these agencies that you need to be in touch with?
I do believe that. We try to, you know, kind of do like a multidisciplinary approach, similar to what we do in our child abuse unit in the office. I think that I want to say we've come a long way in collaboration. Obviously, the Elizabeth Freeman Center and the district attorney's office, we have similar roles, but we also have different roles at the same time.
So when you do refer to the Elizabeth Freeman Center, I'm going to go back over here. For anybody just joining us, just to bring you up to speed, we are talking with representatives of the Elizabeth Freeman Center, Esther Anderson and Pamela Preston, and the District Attorney's Office with ADA Rachel Aramo and Domestic Violence Coordinator Kristen Rapkowitz. So as Kristen just explained, you know, one of the things is that they'll do some referrals back to the Elizabeth Freeman Center. Sometimes the referrals come from the Elizabeth Freeman Center. Sometimes people show up at your place first, right, or reach out mm-hmm. to you first. Mm-hmm. First, before I get into what you do with that referral, when somebody is in touch with you, all your conversations and communications, it's all confidential.
Yeah.
Okay,
yes.
So someone reaching out as a victim or someone reaching out as a friend of somebody that they're concerned with, they can feel that their information is safe?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's probably one of the biggest differences between, I feel, between our agency and all the other agencies is that as a victim or survivor coming forward to finally talk about that situation or seeking services, they have the right to that privacy and confidentiality. And it's at that highest level of privilege, especially for later if it does go to court, that those records and documents are very protected. Mm-hmm. So when we think about every step of the way, it is about, it's now empowering that survivor. It's giving them the say of what they want to do and how they move forward. So when I think about when we talk to other agencies, you know, police officers, they're trying to get some answers to help, again, for safety. When the DA's office or the court system's in place, they're doing the same thing, but they all have a role, which usually entails many questions, investigation. And when you think about the survivor, where they're at that point with the trauma that they've just faced, and then any other factors that makes it more complex, whether it's mental health, substance use that can happen in these situations, it all has a very, again, complicated mix that we try to meet them where they're at and then try to move forward at their pace.
Mm-hmm. And any of the services that the Elizabeth Freeman Center provides, are there any costs associated with that?
None. Yeah. So it's just based on meeting them mm-hmm. and moving forward with what they need.
Okay. So that's not a concern for anybody. They don't have to be worried about insurance covering anything, or that's just not a factor.
No. Correct.
Right. It's not a barrier at all. So when you get a referral, someone calls you directly, or if you're referred by the district attorney's office, what does that look like?
So depending where it comes through, if it's an emergency call that comes in from the hospital or the police station, we're able to respond, mm-hmm. But it's most of the time it's wanting to make sure that it's with the consent of the survivor. At the hospital, it's a little different because we can go there, we can go in, introduce ourselves. It's that moment to get that foot in the door to let them know someone's there to be supportive. And most of the time they're willing, they're open to get a little bit more information. If it's at the police station, we're still able to respond, but again, it's in that moment whether or not the individual is willing, or we're able to get them on the phone with the police officer, and then we can do a little handoff and then get a verbal consent, and then we move forward.
Mm-hmm. And some of the programming that you have provide counseling, support, shelter.
Yes.
Right.
So the emergency services that we have right away are, physical response, where it's meeting them right where they're at and being able to walk with them and help navigate the situations. At the police station, we can help them in even putting together the information to obtain a restraining order at that moment if mm-hmm. they want it. If they have, you know, children with them, trying to assess if it's doing a safe exit of the home at that point, reminding them of all the things they might need mm-hmm. if they're able to get back in the home for a moment to get them. We can provide emergency shelter, which is not just placing someone in a motel room. We go through quite a lengthy process as quickly as possible to assess what their needs are, who that abuser is, because that gives us a lot of information on how to keep them safe.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the different factors that they might be facing in that moment, whether it's medications or for some reason it wouldn't be safe to keep them, you know, like in a motel room until the next day. So we do a lot of assessing to make sure the safety is there for them to have that happen.
Mm-hmm. And the shelters that you provide, those locations are confidential?
Yes.
Right, so that's another layer of safety for that survivor.
Yes.
Okay. Now, I also see another thing that, can be a barrier for somebody leaving an unsafe situation. There's lots of them, as we know. Mm-hmm. But one of them could be their pets.
Yes.
And so I see that you actually have some type of a...
Safe pet.
That's a safe pet project. So just talk a little bit about that, if you could.
Berkshire Humane, many years ago, with one of our former staff members, set up a program that Berkshire Humane will, with foster parents, mm-hmm. pet parents, will take someone's pet temporarily so that they can be safe,
mm-hmm.
So that their pet can be safe and they don't have to give them up. And they will take any pet. One of my roles at Elizabeth Freeman is I answer the phone for one too many hours a day. And I have had sometimes people's first question on the phone is, will you take, what about my pet? What about my iguana?
Mm-hmm.
What about my cat? What about my dog? Mm-hmm. Because sometimes that is the barrier. Sometimes they care more about their pet than they care about themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they will find a home for their iguana, because
mm-hmm.
I found out that answer. that's not, one of my roles is I am not a counselor. I do everything at EFC but mm-hmm. assist clients, except for that 1 hour a day on the phone.
Uh-huh.
But it is a wonderful program where they will, and then when it is safe and there is a proper location for people to have their pets back, then they can have their pets back. Mm-hmm. And that's a wonderful, that's one of those wonderful things that you don't have to worry about.
Yeah.
I can't imagine not being able to have my pet. That would be horrible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're saying that you have iguanas at your house now?
I do not have iguanas at my house. My husband would not. My dog would probably eat the iguana.
But that's true. I mean, like you said, there's so many barriers to people leaving those situations. And that's one that really, I think a lot of us can relate to, you know.
Absolutely.
So that's great to know that that's a resource available. So before, we're coming up on the top of the hour already, and I did want to just talk a little bit about, well, you did mention that it is the 50th anniversary.
25,
right? You've got an event coming up in a couple of weeks, right? Is there a gala?
Oh, sorry. So the 25th anniversary of SAM, but the 50th anniversary
Elizabeth Freeman Center. Yeah. Can you speak a little bit to that event?
To the gala?
The gala, yeah.
I
see it's on the 14th, May 14th, down at the Barrington Hall in Great Barrington?
Yes.
Okay.
There is a gala.
Yeah.
The tickets...
you can get them online.
You can get them online.
Yep.
Is an evening event.
Yeah.
That's
all right. It's a 6 p.m. And the tickets are available until April 20th.
Correct.
Yes. So, down at the Barrington Hall, that's the old Chrisley Farms,
correct.
Right?
It's the old Chrisley Farms.
Yeah. That's a great venue.
It's a great venue.
Mm-hmm.
There's also going to be an auction
mm-hmm.
at that event.
Mm-hmm.
It's been in the process for quite a while. It's something that we've never done before.
Oh,
so
okay.
This is a first for us. And there's a lot of planning involved. That's something that's just a bit above and beyond our normal fundraising. We can do walks.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're really good at walks.
galas are a lot of work.
Galas are a lot of work.
Yeah. All right. When we come back, we'll talk about those walks. We'll talk about those other fundraisers, how we can support the Elizabeth Freeman Center. And, of course, let's talk about your new facility that you've been in there just a little over a year now, right?
Yes.
What a great location.
Yes.
And it's not confidential because That is not.
We want people to go there.
Yes, right. So when we come back, we'll continue this conversation with Esther Anderson and Pamela Preston of the Elizabeth Freeman Center, and with Rachel Aramo and Kristen Rapkowitz of the Berkshire District Attorney's Office, as we talk about this month being Sexual Assault Awareness Month. So we'll check in with our underwriters. We'll take this pause for our station ID, and then when we return, we'll get back to that conversation. You're listening to WTBR 89.7 and WSBR 88.1 in Lee.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts, the Northern Berkshire Early Intervention Program is now accepting applications for an occupational therapist to support child development, empower families, and change futures. 2026 graduates welcome to apply. Apply today at ucpwma.org.
Hey, it's Sean from WTBR-FM. Whether you just found this station for the first time or you've been listening for years, you might not know everything about WTBR-FM. Want to find out more? It's easy. Just go to WTBRFM.com. You can find full programming schedules, listen to the station anywhere in the world, subscribe to our podcasts, and even learn to create a program of your own. And of course, donate to the station. That's WTBRFM.com. Check it out today.
Do you need mental health or addiction services today? MassHealth clients in crisis now have access to same-day treatment at the Breen Center's new Community Behavioral Health Center, and quicker access to urgent and routine mental health and addiction services. Please call 800-252-0227 for more information, or visit our website at breencenter.org. Thank you.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Like hard rock and heavy metal music?
Oh, yeah!
Well, then join me here Friday nights from 8 to 10 for Wounded Radio. Every Friday night, I play 2 hours of the best music on the planet, from AC/DC to ZZ Top and everything in between.
This is gonna be cool.
Want to hear a song on Wounded Radio? Request it on the Wounded Radio Facebook page. And join me here Friday nights at 8 for Wounded Radio.
Yeah!
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Santrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Massachusetts. Retractable awnings, retractable screen, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms. Customized solutions available online at santrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, welcome back. We're here at the Morning Drive, WTBR 89.7 FM and WSBR 88.1 FM in Lee. And we are talking today with, we got Esther Anderson and Pamela Preston from the Elizabeth Freeman Center. We've got ADA Rachel Aramo and Kristen Rapkowitz here from the Berkshire District Attorney's Office. The subject today is, domestic violence, violence in general, and the resources that are available, but we happen to also be in the month of April, which is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. So we're going to get back into that conversation in just a moment. We're going to check in with the weather, and we'll be right back.
Berkshire weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, partly sunny. Highs in the lower 40s. West wind 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear in the evening, then partly cloudy with a chance of snow showers after midnight. Cold with lows in the upper 20s. West wind 10 to 15 miles per hour, diminishing to around 5 miles per hour after midnight. Chance of snow 30%. Tuesday, partly sunny with a chance of snow showers. A chance of rain showers in the afternoon. Highs in the lower 40s. Northwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. Gusts up to 30 miles per hour in the afternoon. Chance of precipitation 50%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, and I'm sure nobody did not notice the snow that was on the ground this morning. So. But hey, it's April, but it's April in the Berkshires, so it's getting there. We're getting there. Right? We're in the right direction. So again, today we're talking about Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And so we have representation here from the Elizabeth Freeman Center and the Berkshire District Attorney's Office to talk about this very important subject and to give some guidance on what to expect, or if you are someone who is in a situation where you need some help, or if you know somebody who could use some help. And the first thing to understand, if that is you, or if you know someone who may be in that situation, is that you're not alone. Unfortunately, the numbers are very high. Statistically, I think 1 in 4 women have been, 1 in 3 actually, who have been assaulted in one way or another, physically, sexually. And then for men even, 1 in 4 is a number that we're seeing. And, you know, whatever gender or, you know, people in the LGBT community, of course, too, are also at high risk. People who don't speak English as a first language are also very much at high risk here in the United States. So a lot of people who are in need of these type of services. So it's so important that we're having these conversations and making people aware that there is help out there. And I think really that the Elizabeth Freeman Center has done a great job of making people aware that you're here. So let's talk a little bit more about what you guys do. Let's first start off with talking about the walks that you do. That's in September, is that right?
Yes.
All right, so let's talk about that coming up.
So our first walk is going to be this, now I don't have my numbers with me. The second week of September, the third, it's in the teens. Uh-huh. And I know our last walk is October 1st, and it's in North Adams. Uh-huh. And in the middle, there's going to be a walk in Lenox.
Okay.
We're only going to do 3 this year, because 6 of them were killing some of us. It just became a lot on our staff.
A lot of logistics,
and yeah. It's very difficult on staff. Our first walk will be in Pittsfield, and we're going to end it with a block party at the Common to try to make it a little bit longer and a little bit more fun. Mm-hmm. When we got the idea from Lenox, because we stole it from them, because they did it last year for us, and it was so much fun that we decided we want to kind of steal their idea and do it on our own.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we're going to end it kind of, and we can't really do a block party on our own block, which will lead to the next, because our own block is very busy.
Yes.
Where we are. Yeah. So we're going to do a block party at the Common.
Yes.
And then our last will be in North Adams, and we will end it with our vigil. Mm-hmm. We have been having vigils because October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month.
Mm-hmm.
And so we will end our North Adams walk with our vigil.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's coming up in September.
In September.
And that's a big opportunity for money to be raised for and to gain awareness and friends and let people know that you exist, because that's the most important
thing. That's the most important
thing. People know that you're there when they really need you.
Absolutely.
And you have an 800 number. It's actually
866,
right? So that's 866-401-2425.
Correct.
And that's 24/7.
And a real person answers it, that is in the Berkshires.
That is a real person here in the Berkshires answering that call at all hours.
Correct.
That's important. So when you mention your block, right, you guys recently, maybe about a little over a year ago, right?
Last December.
All right, Joe. So last December, not this past
December, but December 24.
Okay. So a year plus a few months now.
Correct.
You've been in your new facility, which is really fantastic.
Yes.
You want to talk a little bit about that transition?
Yeah. So we moved to 66 Allen Street, which is kind of across from the police station, next door to City Hall. It's a very different location for us, but it's a great spot because people can walk by.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, parking is different. But we're adjusting.
Mm-hmm.
But people can have their own offices. It allows a lot more privacy for our clients, for sure. A lot more space, time, people can find us a little bit easier. Mm-hmm. We don't have to worry about four-legged critters in our office anymore. we are doing a lot of work on the building. Mm-hmm. People are going to notice that for sure. In 2 weeks, that's one of the things that I'm in charge of is the building.
Okay.
So people will notice work being done on the building, significant work, because, yes, we bought a building in downtown Pittsfield, and you could never build it for what we paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
But there is going to be some significant, noticeable work being done on the building in the next couple of, next 2 months, for sure.
To keep it going.
But it's a beautiful building with large rooms and a lot more privacy for our clients and our counselors.
Mm-hmm.
It's been really changing for us to be able to have that kind of space.
As far as shelter goes, that is not a shelter.
No, people do not live in that building.
Yeah.
Sometimes we feel like we live in that building. I've been in that building every day of the week for various reasons. But nobody lives in that building.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. And it is good where it is located because it's right across from the police department, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just within walking distance of both the DA's office and the courts.
Mm-hmm.
So many other services.
City Hall's next door for birth certificates if people need them.
Mm-hmm.
The Social Security office isn't far away. Mm. There's a lot of things that are within walking distance, the bus station and other services that are much easier.
Yeah. And there's so much left to talk today about, but we're not going to have the time. So I do want to direct people to your website because there are a lot of great things on that website. I found, even with my experiences, I just found it really well put together about safety planning and what to do if you're concerned about someone that is a friend of yours, how you can help that person. There are also things about how you can help in general. And so some of that I just like to kind of touch base on about what we could all do out here in the world to help kind of combat this is that one is just on a regular basis challenge things that are homophobic or racist or sexist, right? Be an advocate for that. Talk about things that are warning signs of abuse. So have these conversations with our children, in our schools, in our community, on the radio, like we are today, right? The more we talk about these things, the more we're identifying those signs of abuse and calling out that bad behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Talk straightforward with your kids about healthy relationships. That's a huge thing. And I know one of the things that you guys do at the Elizabeth Freeman Center is you have, there's a contingent there a couple of folks who will go out into the schools and other youth programs and talk about healthy relations because you need that foundation to help avoid even hopefully being in a situation in the first place.
Yes.
So, really encourage your schools to have these conversations. These are things that we can all do, just being able to call it out and identify it for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you, Brian. It's our prevention team is amazing. It's one of the highlights and the wonderful sides of hearing and seeing that go on, especially in this building. So the prevention team is there. We'll see students coming in, engaged in the activities that they do. That is more on the side of promoting those healthy relationships, the conversation about healthy sexuality, and just to see that side of our work is a very positive thing.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, to have us be able to have a space that promotes all the other programs that we do between the CEDV, which is the children exposed to domestic violence, our special programs that offer extra assistance, so our LGBTQ, our SAGI program, which is Safety and Justice for Immigrants, and our, what is the other program? Disabilities Justice, I'm so sorry, that helps have a counselor who understands more of the barriers that they're facing and the extra support they need along the way.
Yeah. So, Rachel.
Yes, sir.
let's direct back over to you guys and talk a little bit more about what happens if somebody who has a survivor has come forward and is seeking help and shelter, through the EFC and looking to potentially go forward on a criminal case if there's a criminal matter here. Talk a little bit more about that.
Sure. And I think before I answer that, I'd love to mention, and it's been brought up by both EFC and yourself, that we know domestic violence and sexual assault crosses all boundaries. We socioeconomic, age, none of those are a barrier here in Berkshire County for reporting, for support, for prosecution. We don't want people to ever not come forward because of immigration status. As you indicated, English may not be their first language. Sexual orientation, none of that is an issue. At the Berkshire District Attorney's Office, as well as EFC, we want you to come forward and get the help and support that you need. One of the things at the DA's office, once someone has disclosed and they wish to maybe think about going forward with criminal prosecution, probably the most important thing for your listeners to understand and for victims and survivors to know is we will never force the victim of a sexual assault, whether that victim is a child or an adult, to go forward on a criminal prosecution unless it's something they want to see happen. And before we ask them to make that decision, we have a meeting, and sometimes it's several meetings, to explain the criminal process to them. A lot of times people get their information about the court system from Law and Order or NCIC, and as much as I would love to have their wardrobe and their budget, we don't have those. So what we like to do is make sure they come in and understand what the criminal process entails and what their role is in that process as far as prep. Kristen and other victim witness advocates will actually set up a tour of the courtroom after hours, so when it's a little bit more quiet and private, where they can actually see the courtroom, understand where the offender will be, where they will be, the safety planning we do actually within the courthouse, working with the court officers. So there's a lot of education that goes into working with our survivors before the criminal process actually starts. Once a case has been initiated, Kristen and our other advocates will do a lot of safety planning. There are conditions of release that the judge can impose. Again, safety is the most important thing. When a victim is separating from a sexual assault or domestic violence relationship, that's when they're in the most danger. So we want to make sure we're acutely aware of that. Again, partnering with all our partners here in the community. And then throughout the criminal process, unfortunately, it takes a lot of time. It's upwards of a year or more, Brian. As you're aware, and making sure that we're having constant contact, regular contact with our victims so they can understand where the case is at during the process. And actually, I'm going to turn it over to Kristen to talk about how we keep our victims updated during the criminal prosecution.
Yeah, so a lot of times it's just regular check-ins, even if we don't have a big update to share or things kind of seem like they're at a standstill. It's just checking in, you know, hi, how are you? How are things going? Do you need anything in this moment? A lot of our job is to be transparent with the victims and survivors, but also to work hard so they trust us. They come into these situations very distrustful of the systems, law enforcement, and things, and that's certainly understandable. And that's when we, you know, try to really put everything out there and just be there for them in the moment. That's always what I say, just like in the moment, what do you need? That's why we try to collaborate with other outside agencies, because advocates at the district attorney's office, although sometimes we seem like we're social workers, that's not our main role. Our main role is to make sure that the Victim Bill of Rights in Massachusetts is being provided to all victims and witnesses. So if there's something that we can't do, we find somebody who can do it for us, to help us, because it's really about them. They're coming into a system that's very defendant and offender driven, and they're, we mentioned it briefly before, there's a lot of victim blaming, and we want to make sure that they know that we're on their team. So, like I said, it's a lot of like legal mumble jumbo that we have to go through and stuff, but it's really just checking in and making sure that they're heard. Mm-hmm. I think that's really important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I'm sure there's a lot of fear and, like you said, a lot of mistrust about the systems. Mm-hmm. And people in general, if you've been
yes.
through those situations. So mm-hmm. it's pretty vital that you're there to help guide mm-hmm. them through. Both agencies, mm-hmm. you know, help folks get through that. If someone is concerned for their friend or someone that they know, a family member, what can you say to them about helping people understand why someone might be in a situation like that and why it's not as easy as it might seem to just walk away sometimes?
Mm-hmm. I think there's so many factors. First, it's to to understand who you're talking to listen, not to project your feelings. Sometimes in those, even those moments of wanting to share what you think, what might make you feel better, may not be what that individual needs. Most of the time, what I see when I meet someone is if it is someone they've known, an intimate partner, they're invested in that relationship. They never want the relationship to end. They want the abuse to stop. So when you look at it that way, and we look at the averages at 7 times before someone leaves an abusive relationship, that's an average. And it's because of so many reasons, but typically it's they want their relationship. They just want the abuse to stop. When it's a situation of violence, sexual violence, where it might be a stranger, I typically see someone who is looking at themselves. What could they have done differently? What could they have done to have changed what the outcome was? So it's just understanding where they're coming from. If you do go on our website or you learn more, and I think that's what this whole month is all about, it's promoting awareness, being able to offer just some assistance. Maybe it's to help them get into the office if they want to come, or if they think they might be safer with a restraining order or a protective order, that someone might go along with them to the courthouse to help them with that paperwork. Mm-hmm. Because some of the agencies are a little intimidating to go into, and they're very busy. And we have Safe Plan advocates at the Elizabeth Freeman Center. So if you come in, we can get you connected to one, and they can walk right over with you and do our best in helping navigate all of those systems.
Yeah, because the systems are confusing at times, especially going through the court process. Even as someone who worked professionally in and out of there, I used to get confused about things. So I know how vital it is that there are advocates at the DA's office and at agencies like EFC to help. It's so vital because it is confusing and overwhelming, and especially when and I was doing that as work. When it's your personal life, it's so much more impactful and so much harder to be able to dig out of it, especially when they've already had that strength to try to get through this and have come out to get some help. I know that, again, I want to refer people again back to your website, because there are so many great things on there. One of the things with the safety planning, which I found had some really great advice, some things to just be mindful of if you're someone who's in a situation like this, or again, if you know someone who is and you're reaching out to them and trying to encourage them to get help, here's some things that you could share with them if there are children involved, teach them how to call 911. Have important phone numbers memorized, because if you had to leave home suddenly and you don't have your phone, or your phone's been taken from you, we're so used to, nobody remembers phone numbers anymore, right?
No.
So write them down somewhere, or keep them in your own mind, so that if you don't have your phone to refer to, you have numbers to call. Safe words with people that you trust, you have that so that you can have a conversation and use that safe word as a code word if you need some help. Particularly if it's a violent situation or threats of violence, you want to make sure, be mindful of where you are in the house. Avoid rooms where there's no exits. It's a lot to think about, but all these little tips can maybe save your life. Mm-hmm. If you're thinking about leaving, maybe come up with a reason to step outside, right? Going to walk the dog, take the trash out, and then have things ready to go. Medicine, right? Important papers. Have that phone with you. Cash is important. Always keep a little cash available. But at least have a plan. Right, at least have a plan. So these are things that you can share with somebody who you're worried for, or if you are someone who's in a situation, these are some safety planning things that you can do.
And sometimes it takes time. Those things don't happen in one day.
Of course, yeah.
And that's scary. That's scary for the family, that's or the friends, because those things can't always happen overnight. Why doesn't she leave? Because that safety planning doesn't happen in a half an hour.
Right.
And the other fact with safety planning is if along the way they're living with that abuser, or the abuser has access to that space, mm-hmm. if it's found out, mm-hmm. and that can be like the most dangerous situation that can happen. Mm-hmm. So we try to work on what that would look like for a safe exit.
Right. Right. And so these are things that you can prepare for. I'm not saying that do this all, like you're not instructing your friend, hey, do all this tomorrow. But here's the things you can have so that if that emergency day comes or that moment comes where you're ready, mm-hmm. here are some things that you're ready that won't slow you down when you are ready to do that.
Exactly.
Because we know there's so many reasons. I mean, shelter. That's
money.
Your home, money, the fear of the unknown, of leaving, what's going to happen if mm-hmm. I do leave, your pets, like we talked about earlier, thank God there's a program you have for that. All those securities, as much as it's not a really secure place, all those securities that go with it are at risk. So it's a real challenge for someone to come forward. So it's very brave when they're able
it
to
is.
Do that.
And can I just mention, when it comes to maybe an acute situation like was being referenced, I don't know if people know that you can actually text 911. If you don't feel safe picking up the phone in front of your abuser, we just had a case happen. The victim was in the same room as the abuser was being actively abused, utilized the texts to reach out to 911, was able to give permission for a door breach. Mm. Pittsfield Police Department was amazing, came in, and that was an acute, dangerous situation. So understand technology is our friend in this case, so if you can't safely pick up the phone, nobody's going to think twice about somebody fiddling with their phone. And in this case, the victim was very, very smart in the way that she did it and kept herself safe.
Yeah, thank you. So... this is domestic, I'm sorry, this is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And so the Elizabeth Freeman Center is having a couple of events to bring awareness to that. So you've got three things that you mentioned earlier. Can you go over those again?
Tomorrow is Wear Teal Day. Wear Teal Day.
Yep.
And we have a standout at Park Square mm-hmm. from 5 to 6.
That's tomorrow.
Tomorrow. And yes, we heard the weather, but... tomorrow is Wear Teal Day, and we have a standout from 5 to 6. Next Monday, we are planting the flags at Park Square, mm-hmm. 514. Mm-hmm. And they will be there until the 21st. Mm-hmm. And then on the 29th is Denim Day. And for everybody, not just women, mm-hmm. everybody wear denim. And most of your bosses will let you.
I'm going to let the DA know.
I'll get you some flyers. I have them bilingual.
I will slip them under his door.
I can get you any flyers you want. Mm-hmm. And we will be doing a picture at City Hall if anybody is welcome to join us.
All right.
And also, Brian, the whole week of the 13th, we will be out in the community, all of Berkshire County, doing an outreach. Mm-hmm. So we'll be dropping off packets to all community agencies of our services, brochures, and palm cards.
Great. So we've got about a minute left. Any what kind of parting message would anybody like to share here? What's important to get across?
I think the only thing I'd say is... there is help. There is help here. It's scary to reach out for it, but there are so many agencies, not just the two that are talking today, but so many community agencies that will partner with you. It's scary to reach out for help, but please do it. Nothing will change until you do that. Do it when you're safe and do it when you can, but please know that we're here for you.
Yeah, and that you're not alone.
Not alone.
Not alone. Yes, and believe. Believe them mm-hmm. and help promote to get to safety.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So believe if somebody tells you that, mm-hmm. that this is a situation they're in,
absolutely.
Believe them, support them, mm-hmm. get them to the help that they need.
Yes.
Okay, great. Yes. Well, thank you. So again, if anybody is just joining us or you're catching the, hopefully you're not just joining us with a minute left, but this is the conversation today with the Elizabeth Freeman Center, Esther Anderson and Pamela Preston. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
With the District Attorney's Office, Rachel Aramo and Kristen Rapkowitz, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Brian, for having us.
Thank you, Brian.
If there's any part of this show that you missed, if you're listening, you can always look at us on the PCTV website. This is video recorded. It's there forever, everybody. So if there's any part of this conversation that you missed and you want to review, please do that. Remember, too, that the Elizabeth Freeman Center website is fantastic. Lots of great information on there about how to be safe and how to look out for your friends. From all of us here at WTBR and WSBR, we appreciate you tuning in for the morning drive and starting your day with us. Hope you'll join us every weekday morning for this show. And keep in mind the men and women of the armed services in our thoughts, especially those serving in the Iran Theater. And enjoy the rest of the week. Take care.